The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott, this is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR 1460 with Colin Bott. Linda is on assignment this morning getting ready for a number of things that are happening in our community, in our house. Let me turn this down a little bit. Yeah, whoever's in last night, we had a show on last night, just obviously is deaf. So, good morning, everybody.
Hey, good morning.
It is the 19th of September. It's about 6 minutes after the hour, 7 o'clock. The news brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. Open 7 days a week, enhanced walk-in humidor, same great customer service, great, great people down there, Shelly and her gang, great people at Tobacco and Brew. So, what's what weather looks like? I'm here with Ashley. Good morning, Ashley. She's my producer.
Good morning.
Bad Bob is, Bad Bob's just not here this week.
I could say that
he's not there some of the other times, too, but I'm just, that's not true. He could probably say the same thing about me. Let me just keep turning this thing down. Or do you have me turned way up or something? No?
Not too bad.
Okay. All right.
You're bouncing.
Hey,
right
the weather in. For today, widespread haze, patchy smoke. Sunny with a high near 90, northwest winds today, 7 to 9 p.m., 9 miles per hour. Tonight, widespread haze before 11 p.m., patchy smoke before 11 p.m., clear with a low around 59. Thursday, sunny with a high near 93 when we caffeinate for a cause tomorrow. Mm-hmm. We're out doing that. Friday, sunny with a high near 93. Friday night, mostly clear with a low around 60. And you can kind of say that for the rest of the weekend. Sunny Sunday, sunny with a high near 91, low around 59. So it's going to be like this up through probably next Tuesday for about a week. We're going to have this kind of weather. Weather report brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane and Anderson. Based business, a veteran-owned business that gives discounts for seniors and veterans. Done a great job down there. They have, give them a call, 365-3793. See what else we have. I just wanted to talk about real quick before we go to our guest. Gold Leaf Nursery, run by the Campbells, is closing down.
Aww.
It's been in the business 43 years.
Wow.
And that's one of the last mom-and-pop operation, so if you go down there, when you say mom-and-pop, I always picture a little bitty small store, but it's not like that. It's big. After 43 years, they're shutting the business down, going to retire, go visit the kids, go back there hiking and things I used to love to do before you get into your own business. Because once you get into your own business, you don't have those days like that.
Right?
No, you don't have those days. And when you take a vacation, honestly, you feel guilty. And, you go, oh, gosh, I should be back. I should be doing this, blah, blah, blah. Even though you got your people, just they can do it probably better than you when you leave. It's not the same thing. But anyway, the Campbells are cool. Now, the thing about Mr. Campbell is he's part of the Shasta County Pipe and Drum Corps. And he plays the bagpipes, and they went over to Scotland this last year and competed. Anyway, former Marine. So we'll miss them. Because, it's just because it's another business that's leaving our area. Hey, I'm sitting here with Joel Comente, who heads up, of course, the Builders Exchange, but also is a candidate for Shasta County Board of Supervisors, District 1. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning.
A little bit early?
No, it's not the time I'm up running around.
Oh, it was early for Wade. That's right. Wade's in here, too.
He is a sensitive soul.
He is sensitive.
Have to respect that.
He is sensitive.
He's just under-caffeinated at the moment.
He's under-caffeinated, but we have caffeine in the back there so he can go, douse himself with it, roll around in it if he wants.
Good.
So, good morning.
Good morning.
So, the fire.
Yes.
I haven't talked to you about it since it's been going on for 2 months. Delta fires at what, 84%? What's the AQI look like when you get a chance? Is that the 155?
AQI is at 155 currently.
Okay, 155. Yeah. And the parts like Palisades was like 12. So you can drive out there and breathe deep and then run back into town. How'd the fire touch you guys, or did it?
It literally got to our front door. We're up on Quartz Hill. We live in Bel Air Estates.
Wow.
And I have to thank God and some incredible firefighting. You can see on the side of my property where the footprints of the firefighters were running around, dousing houses, dousing shrubs. I can't.
You see their footprints in the ash all around there. Yeah.
I'm just in awe of what these men and women were capable of doing. They backburned in our neighborhood to prevent it from coming over the hill. I was cleaning out my gutters, and there were pounds of ash. There was a melted water bottle. There were pieces of glass. I mean, I can't imagine what these men and women were facing.
That's probably part of the wind that came blowing through there. Well, you know, I go at the cemetery for a funeral for one of our friends. And coming back down there, we saw houses that were totally surrounded by burnt areas.
Yeah.
And you ask yourself, well, how did they survive? But then you realize that the firefighters are probably up there backburning all around the houses like they do to try to give them that space. But still, then you saw like three different pads that were just gone.
It's a war zone. I mean, you've been in war zones. I never have been, but in my mind, when we were fleeing the fire, literally in our rearview mirror, you can see that wall of smoke. You can hear it. Sounds like a freight train. You can see the flames.
People say that they don't realize just how loud a fire is.
Oh, it was it was frightening.
Yeah, Lou White was out in French Gulch, and he stayed, but he said he was sitting there because they thought the fire was going in a different direction. He said that he thought that the jets were coming over and dousing the fire. He thought, oh, great. Then you realize, no, that was the fire coming down the canyon.
Yeah.
So anyway, I'm glad that you just, I mean.
We're very thankful. We're very thankful.
And you know what? And we had Barry Tippin on yesterday. And Barry said, you know, all this stuff has to be done, you know, like the opting in and opting out of the stuff by the 30th. And that they've had a large number of people opt in, get their property cleared, and that's good. And then they've had a number of them say, okay, you know, I'm opting out. But it's got to be done by September 30th, which is only a few days away.
Correct.
So, anyway, good morning, and I want to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back and talk about how we're going to rebuild this, but also your candidacy.
Sure. So,
our number is 605-4567. If you have a question for Joe Comenta, he is running for Board of Supervisors, District 1, but also head of the Builders Exchange, because I want to talk about contractors, too, and some of the things they've arrested nine, or they've... I don't know if they arrested them or they just ticketed them, nine of them.
They caught them in a sweep. They'll deal with each one individually.
Okay. We'll be right back after these messages. But this portion of the show is brought to you by our friends over at Turtle Bay. Turtle Bay and their Parrot Playhouse, their Aquatic Adventures, and Little Explorers. All of these. Plus, Oktoberfest is coming October 13th. And you and your fellow beer lovers, not that we know a lot of those, we'll enjoy a variety of local and regional beers, along with delicious food and live music. They're also proud sponsors of our local football, high school football, which will be this Friday at 7:30. Now, also, today, it's an important day. It was pointed out to me that today, ARG! It's Talk Like a Pirate Day, matey. Let's hear you, Ashley. Let's hear you talk like a pirate. ARG! That's it?
I work behind the scenes for a reason.
Wait a minute. You're the one that started this.
Oh,
you know,
absolutely.
You're walking around with a parrot on your shoulder, which, by the way, I don't know if anybody knows, but this parrot is untamed. So how do you get that? Plus, you've got all that white stuff down your back from the parrot.
Yeah.
We're going to take a break. We'll be right back.
This is Andy Main bringing you a news update from high-speed internet provider ShastaBeam.com. We've had a great response from the community regarding the recent car fire from residents who were evacuated or had their homes burned. We're happy to report that all of our towers providing high-speed internet services are in operation, and we're installing new equipment on those towers that suffered fire damage. We continue to send our condolences to those who suffered losses, and we are still offering expedited installation services to those who need high-speed internet and phone services installed at their addresses. Call us today at 605-2203 or Google ShastaBeam.com on your smartphone to pre-qualify your address or to inquire about our services. ShastaBeam has been providing high high-speed wireless services to the North State since 2004. We provide services to all areas that have slow internet. Call Shasta Beam today at 605-2203 or visit ShastaBeam.com to pre-qualify your address and order online today. This is Andy Main wishing you fast, reliable internet from ShastaBeam.com.
Gather your friends for a night with Sinbad live at the Wind River Resort and Casino Event Center on Friday, October 19th. Ranked by Comedy Central as one of the 100 greatest stand-ups of all time, actor and comedian Sinbad has had audiences laughing over three decades. His storytelling style of comedy is profound without being profane.
Marriage is work. Marriage is a career. It's not adventure. You do more before five than most folks do all day. It's like the military. And all you men out here 55 years old trying to date some girl 20 like she like you. Are you out your mind? She wants your house. You want a woman that understands the signs of stroke.
Do not miss your chance to see Sinbad live at the Wind River Resort and Casino Friday, October 19th. Tickets start at $20. For tickets or to reserve a room in our hotel, call 1-800-280-YOU-WIN. Must be 21 to attend. Don't forget to download the Wind River app.
The seasons are changing. Keeping your family healthy is important. So is the health of your car. The longevity and reliability of your vehicle depends on you to make sure your oil, radiator coolant, windshield wipers, and other vital systems have all been taken care of so your car can bring your healthy family through the seasons. If all you need is an in-cabin air filter change, come on in. No appointment necessary. Drive into Premier Oil Change today and experience the friendly oil change. Premier doesn't require an appointment, and you don't drop your car off or wait. Premier changes your fluids while you stay in the comfort and safety of your own car. Enjoy a free beverage and free Wi-Fi while our trained technicians perform our comprehensive 30-point certified service. Earn free oil changes with Premier Rewards. Learn more at PremierOilChange.com or visit us in Palisadro in the Holiday Market Shopping Center or on Lake Boulevard next to Waterworks Park. Both locations get you a free car wash with every oil change.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier, your friendly oil change.
Premier Oil Change, home of the friendly oil change.
Joe's Web Geeks are the geeks your business has been looking for. Now businesses in Shasta County have a resource to make online advertising easy. With our Jumpstart service, you can get a website with pages built to be found in search, a Facebook page, listings in over 25 directories, and a lot more for $8.99. Let Joe's Web Geeks help you so that you can get back to doing what you do best. Visit joeswebgeeks.com or call 515-9851.
Learn more about our shows and hosts. Check us out online at kcnr1460.com.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio in the studios of KCNR 1460. Good morning, everybody. This portion of the show brought to you by North State Security. North State Security, celebrating their 50th year in the business, largest privately owned security firm north of Sacramento, over 100 officers, doing great work in our city, in our county, in the whole northern California region, whether it's the power plants or water plants or even, you know, the local high schools. North State Security is there. They've got a program that can have an officer at your home or your business in 10 minutes or less. Give them a call, 243-0295, and find out what's going on and how you can get into that type of program at North State Security. An ounce of prevention since 1968. Hey, I want to remind everybody that today we are streaming this show till 8 o'clock this morning on our Facebook page. Is that correct? Our Facebook page?
And yes.
We're video streaming on our Facebook page. Ashley?
We are doing Facebook Live, so if you guys have questions or comments for Joe or Carl, then you can, as well as calling in
and the normal chat room, you can
contact us and make a comment on Facebook, and we'll try to answer it on the air as best we can.
Yeah, and our phone number is here, 605-4567. And I had a comment yesterday, said, well, I didn't like the questions you were asking, Barry Tippin. Well, here's a perfect opportunity when you say that, is to call 605-4567. If you don't like the questions I'm asking, ask your own. Or put them on the chat room, and we ask, we'll push them through that way, too. We're here with Joe Comente, who is running for Board of Supervisors, District 1, but also the CEO, is it director?
Executive Director
of the Builders Exchange. Let's talk a little bit about that with this rebuilding going on.
Right.
Joe, in the paper the other day, there were 7 or 9 people caught, non-contractors, saying they were contractors.
Right.
And you can, if it's over $500, you need, you know, if they're working at your house and it's over $500, they need a contractor's license.
Right.
Well, how do people defend themselves?
Well, we really have to just be hyper aware. And one of the first things we did as we were fleeing the fire was come out with a news blast that said, here's what you need to look for when you're looking for a general contractor. And make sure that you check with us and go to our website. And we do vet our contractors, but you can also go to the California State Licensing Board. You have to be very vigilant and diligent. And really, for people who have never been through this, as most people haven't been through it, it can be very intimidating, and you can be easily persuaded to do something that you shouldn't do. And you have to acknowledge that this is a process. And if you have any questions and you have any doubts, trust your instincts and seek more information.
You know, if it sounds too good, it usually is.
Yes.
And especially if you don't know anything about rebuilding.
Yes.
And I'm saying this because I know how much it costs to do this and do this, but to rebuild a home.
Right.
So you should be going to somebody that's got, and I guess, you know, with some of the things you're saying is not just the contractor's license, but testimonials.
Yes.
You know, people that you can talk to that they've worked with them before.
Always get personal references. Always do that. And a lot of times people don't do that. Again, this is an overwhelming situation. People are anxious. They want to get things done. We're going to try to expedite this process. And by we, I mean the building community and the government trying to expedite it. But it's going to take what it takes. And there's no way to short circuit it. So take the time to do your due diligence. And again, when in doubt, check it out. And it's just that simple. And there's lots of resources you can go to, starting with the Builders Exchange.
Well, you know, we had the gents up from Santa Rosa that, you know, they had that fire,
the Tubbs fire.
Yeah. The guys from the Tubbs fire that had, like, in their neighborhood. And so he was the head of Coffee Strong, which was, I think, 1,200 homes or 1,800 homes, and just that neighborhood just gone.
Right.
But they said, take your time.
Yes.
Don't try to rush into this. The builder that was there, that it's his third fire, and he says, he's not looking for business. He's there to offer information to builders in the sense of the insurance. He says, I've become an insurance expert.
Right.
Because the insurance, you know, that's the other thing that people need to understand is what they have and what's covered and all those things.
Right. You can easily be underinsured depending on the market strains. You know, you're looking at lumber costs and material costs. You're looking at a labor shortage, which will drive up cost. So all of a sudden, what seems to be a well-insured home is not, when your rebuild may go per a dollar per square foot a lot higher than you had projected or the insurance company had projected.
Well, you know, and that's interesting that you say that, because they also mentioned is that their cost immediately rose, and it stagnated. He said, we used the word stagnated. Maybe we should say plateaued at 30% over what it used to be.
Right.
And also, let's talk about the shortage, which brings us to the next thing is everybody that we have that can swing a hammer was, you know, earlier sucked up down to Sacramento and then down to the Santa Rosa.
Right.
And what is this a good time to get into the building industry if you are somebody that wants to work with your hands make a good living?
This is an outstanding time. And we've been preaching this at the Exchange for the last 10 years, certainly for the 4 years that I've been responsible. And the first thing we did was immediately reach out to networks here in the community and do a nation and then worldwide call out to people and tell them, if you're interested in being part of a great transformation, if you're interested in developing career skills that will carry you all of your life, skills that you can take with you anywhere you go, now is the time. And for the parents out there who may have been hesitant to encourage their children to go to a trade school as opposed to going to college, those very children may be rebuilding their homes. So there's a real value to encouraging young people to get into the trades and appreciate the amount of money and, more importantly, the positive impact you can have. I mean, the pleasure you get from being able to build something. When I first got out of college, I was a framer. And it was great. At the end of the day, you know, you show up and there's a foundation, because we had foundations where I worked. And by the end of the day, there's a subfloor and there's walls up. And then by the end of the week, depending on the size of the home, you know, you might have a roof on. I mean, there's a sense of accomplishment that you often don't get.
And people don't realize a lot of times that just, you know, moving paper from A to B, I mean, that's an accomplishment. Right. But when you're building something and you finished it, you know, like just even working around the yard, I had to take down all these things Saturday or Sunday, you know, take them down, you know, clean them up because they got ash all over them, sure. Put them into a bag, put them underneath the house, clean up all the other stuff. And when I'm finished, I'm like, yeah, that's okay. That's done.
Yeah.
You know, and
yeah.
But it's, I think it's the same thing of people, you know, and I was talking to my, I think it was my, he's my nephew by marriage. He's a school teacher. He likes teaching school, but he really likes working with his hands. And we're talking about, you know, the rebuilding of Reading and all these other places. And he goes, you know, I really like to do that. And I said, gosh, you know, Josh, maybe you ought to take a look then at retraining
sure.
into something you really enjoy. Well, he says, well, I enjoy the teaching side. But I think that really was, he was really giving it a lot of thought where he could use his hands because he's the kind of guy and that he could build things. And I think that would, I think that appeals to so many people.
Yes, it does. And when you talk about the stress that comes with day-to-day life
yeah.
and pushing a paper from one side of the desk to the other, which I'm not understating how important that
no.
is. But you know, you get mentally exhausted, but you don't get physically exhausted. When you can work with your hands, you have the mental satisfaction, plus you have the physical satisfaction. You can really end a day knowing that you made a contribution, and I think that's really important.
And I'm going to hit some more stuff on the contracting side. I had one of our listeners here. So many more regulations when it comes to building. But he said one of them is something called the HVAC Title 24. Are you familiar with that?
I'm not.
Okay. So I guess that has raised the cost of HVAC a lot in the last years. Maybe it's the way that I don't know what
it's
that's
the energy
about.
Efficiency. I'm sure
oh,
everything
yeah.
is based on becoming more green and having a high level of energy efficiency
now
and
the,
safety.
Yeah. Well, the city has now said is that they're going to they're looking at having just one price for the permits
right.
for everybody, no matter what cost
for
your
car
house
fire,
is,
yeah.
for the car fire, right, and. And moving them through that way in the regulations, but there are so, and you can you're not going to have to pay impact fees and all that. And I think the county's going to
county's on pretty much on the same
on
page.
The same page. But if but they have so many new codes,
yes,
that also will raise the price
yes.
of a house.
Yep.
I mean codes that if you had a house from 10, 15 years ago, 20 years ago. Now you're looking at something that you're going to have to maybe put sprinklers inside the house.
Yes. No,
you know more about it than I do.
Well, most insurance companies will build some portion into the policy, but even well-insured people may find themselves being underinsured. But really the big concern is the underinsured and the uninsured, especially in the more rural areas.
Mm-hmm.
And the biggest concern for me in just observing this are the fire suppression systems. And I'm very, very much in support of fire suppression, certainly in lieu of what we just experienced. And I understand the concern about putting suppression in a home because it prevents your home from being a danger to other homes in the neighborhood or to wildland. But when you look at people who are underinsured or uninsured out in more rural areas that are on wells where they're going to have to upgrade their well and they're going to have to put in pumps and they're going to have to put in a compression tank, I think that can be very cost-intensive and may prevent some people from not rebuilding and mm-hmm. forcing them into a homeless situation, which our community certainly can't bear. And yesterday, the Board of Supervisors reviewed the first draft of the legislation that will allow people to go to 1998 codes. But unfortunately, just from a building standpoint, and again, I understand the fire safety, they included the sprinkler, the fire suppression system, and that's a concern to me for the reasons I just stated.
You know, I know that can they is this a state thing? It's not a. I mean, can the county try to waive any of this?
The county, because it was declared a national or a state emergency by the governor, and then later a national emergency, they do have some leeway in what they can do, which is what allowed them to go to the 1998, 1997 codes.
Mm-hmm.
But the fire suppression system obviously is.
Has it been around that long?
No, fire suppression came around, I want to say, about 08.
Oh, that's what I thought. I mean,
yeah. No, this allowed them to go back to 97, 98 building codes, but they did include in yesterday's legislation that you would have to do the fire suppression systems. And for people who are well insured or mostly insured, I don't know that it's a big concern, and certainly it is a safety issue. again, my concern is what percentage of the people will not be able to do that and subsequently be not be able to rebuild.
Okay, we're here with Joe Comenta, who's executive director of the Builders Exchange, but also he's running for Shasta Board of Supervisors District 1, and that was a perfect morphing into, let's go start talking about that when we get back. This portion of the show brought to you by Northern Firearms Instruction, the largest privately owned company in California, started right here, teaching in 40 counties. Ted Leidy started this 10 years ago, this business 10 years ago, and as he and his instructors have taught to the thousands of students. Check out more at usgunpro.com or give them a call at 530-999-1822. There's an advanced class for pistols. If you've already got your CCW and you're looking at taking an advanced class, there's going to be one October the 28th, but you need to sign up for it at usgunpro.com or give them a call again, 999-1822. Hey, we are live streaming this on our Facebook page, so you can take a look and see what Joe Comenta looks like and what I look like in the morning at this point.
That's tough. That's tough.
If I'd known that Wade was coming in here with the cameras, I would have worn something more than this thong. It's 7:30 in the morning. We'll be right back after these messages.
Hi, I'm Chuck Kinney, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. There's a joke around our company that our propane is better than other companies' propane. The fact is that most propane sold in the North State is manufactured in the same refineries in the Bay Area, so there's really no difference. However, there can be a big difference between propane companies. When you call Shasta Gas, you will be greeted by a friendly, knowledgeable customer service representative that will answer your questions or concerns and even give you an approximate time that your delivery will be there if you need to know. If you want, you can also talk to the owner, me. There may also be a big difference in prices between companies. Our motto at Shasta Gas is our customers are warm friends. So for safety, service, and savings, and to experience this difference, give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
For over 45 years, the Original Clyde's TV is the place people turn to for locally owned, name brand recognition and offering home delivery service. You know that you're getting the best quality with Clyde's TV. Clyde's has it all, from home stereo systems to 150-inch televisions. We are an authorized DISH network provider. Not only will you be getting competitive prices on your home electronics, but Clyde's knowledgeable staff will install your home entertainment system to your specifications.
I'm Clyde, and I have been serving in North State for over 45 years. I'm an authorized Klipsch, Yamaha, Sony, Samsung, an LG dealer. We offer setup and even haul away your old electronics free of charge. If you're looking for that hard-to-find video audio accessory, we have it. We offer discounts to military personnel. Come see us at Clyde's Enterprises, located at 1250 Hartnell Avenue here in Reading.
I'm Don Burton. I'm here with Bruce Blake, owner of Powerhouse Solar.
And Sue Blake.
We're at the beautiful Cottonwood Community Library, where you just finished up a job. They have solar now. What's it mean to them?
Well, Don, this compact 6-kilowatt system will offset the Cottonwood Community Library's entire electric bill. This is due to the efficient design and the quality of the SunPower panels, which are rated as the best solar panels on the market.
And the all-black panels present a beautifully clean look on their roof.
The SunPower panels can also be installed as a ground rack or a pole mount system.
How do you know which type of system is best for you?
Visit our showroom and design center today at 4616 Caterpillar Road in Reading,
where one of our solar design experts will sit down with you and present all of the available options and design a system specific to your energy needs.
And Powerhouse Solar can save you money on your home as well. Call Powerhouse Solar today at 275-5600.
And let us get the power of the sun working for your home or business.
Some things in life you can just rely on, like the perfect fit of your favorite pair of jeans, the nap-inducing powers of your trusty recliner, and the tried and true performance of a new Rood home heating system. So here's to reliability, built into everything we do. Rely on Rood.
Get reliable comfort when the weather turns cold with a new heating system installed by the local pros at Alliance Heating and Air. Call Alliance today, 530-221-2642. At Alliance Heating and Air, everybody calls us.
Got something stuck in your craw? Give us a call, 605-4567.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio in the studios of KCNR 1460. Carl and Linda Bott. Linda's on assignment this morning getting ready for our See You Guys. We're doing live tomorrow. We're going to be doing Caffeinate for a Cause down at the Dutch Bros on North Market Street here, down where we turn in to go to Turtle Bay Schools. So we'll be there from 7 to 9 tomorrow morning. We're here with Board of Supervisors candidate for District 1, Joe Comente. We're also, you know, give us a call at 605-4567 if you have a question for Joe. We're also streaming live on our Facebook page. So you can all see us this morning. And if you have questions, you just type them in there, too, in the comment site. And we'll get them to Joe. Now, the first question, though, that came in was, Ashley?
We have a question from Don on the Facebook page saying asking, how will it work for voters in District 1 that have been displaced by the fires and are in housing outside of the district?
Well, first I want to say I'm very sorry that that happened to those people. And being displaced from your home is just a traumatic experience. And I can assure you, if I'm elected, and certainly in my tenure at the exchange, I'm going to do everything to get those people back in their homes as quickly as possible. You should have received a postcard from the voter registration office letting you know that the ballot will not automatically be forwarded to you, but you have two choices. You can contact them. They're on the promenade, on the south end of the promenade on Market Street, and you can contact them via phone, and they will then record your address and make sure the ballot gets sent to you, or you can go down and pick your ballot up. And the ballots will be available beginning October 8th. So I encourage everybody, your vote matters, and this displacement is... it's traumatic, and again, my deepest sympathies for you having to endure this. But we will get through it. We will work together as a community to get through it. And I will certainly use any and all influence I can get to expedite the process. And I encourage you to vote, and that's the process. You can either call and give them your address, and they'll mail it to you, or you can go down and you can pick it up.
Joe, you're running for supervisor here. Again, public safety. Yes. I mean, this fire has just stepped on everything.
Yes.
And I guess from what you're seeing, I've talked to the city. I'm going to get the county, start rolling the county in here too, about their process for getting people whole again. What do you see that's going on now?
I see that one of the real advantages, and timing is everything, is Mr. Hellman, who worked at the city with Mr. Voppel, is now in charge of resource management. So you've automatically created a nexus between the two entities because mm-hmm. of the relationship they have. And I know that Larry Voppel has worked very diligently in the several years that he's been in the position to try to expedite the process. And I know Mr. Hellman, along with Mr. Fletcher and the rest of the team, are doing the very same. The biggest encouragement that I will shout out to everyone is get your prints done quickly. Get a general contractor. Work with someone who's experienced with general contracting and who's experienced with fire loss, and get those plans done as quickly as possible and submit them. Even if your property is not cleared yet, you can still submit your plans and begin the plan check process. Now, if you're using a plan that's similar or exact to the plan that was previously on that lot, they can expedite that in several days. If you start making modifications, that will take longer. If you increase size over 500 square feet, that will trigger fees. So school fees specifically. So you just want to be mindful of that.
So if you go over 500 feet larger?
Square feet, yeah.
Square feet larger, you're going to get hit with things, huh?
Yeah.
Well, okay. Now, does the county have something set up so it's streamlined? Like you've got just car fire only?
Yes, they're working on that. They're in process of trying to at least get annuitants to come back and work part-time as the city is doing, and set up areas where a person who has been a victim of a car fire can get, I don't want to say preferential treatment, but expedient treatment given the circumstances.
I think they should get, you know what, I hate to say preferential, But why not? Because this is a person that's lost their home, or their home's been damaged. They should, I think, have preferential treatment. If they have a, you know, like two guys, that's all they're doing, or got, you know, what I say, two guys, two people, that's all they're doing.
Right.
I think that's right.
No, and I don't think anybody will have any concern with that.
As this moves forward, we want to talk about public safety.
Right.
We still have a problem with the jail. Now, the sheriff's going to be on at 8 o'clock. I'm going to ask him about this 100 beds that everybody's talking about is going to be before the end of the year.
Right.
Have you heard that?
Yeah, I think that's awesome. Okay, I think any step forward is a step forward. The problem we have is we're still dealing with a jail facility that is 35 years old and that does not really address the restorative justice, the adult rehabilitative process that the criminal justice system nationwide is going in, which, again, will always bring me back to the Adult Rehabilitation Center and the importance of that type of facility. So we still have to figure out how we're going to build a state-of-the-art or how we're going to access a state-of-the-art jailing facility, because AB 109 is probably here to stay. That kind of prison realignment was mandated by the federal government, so there really wasn't a lot of recourse that we could have. And we need to start planning now for a building that may not be constructed for another 5 to 10 years. So right now we're putting Band-Aids on the situation, and that's good. It's better than doing nothing. But it's not a long-term solution, and we really need to start planning now for the long-term solution that may take 5 to 10 years to implement.
Let's go to the phones. Nick, good morning. You have a question for Joe Comente.
Yes, Joe, good morning. I'd like to know how you're going to be a better supervisor than David Keogh. And something you might touch on is the way they treated Revenge, Anselmo Revenge up there. I didn't see David standing up and saying, we need to keep this guy in our community. He's spending money. And just things like that, you know. How are you better? I remember when Jefferson came along, he set it to where it had to be a two-thirds board request to even bring it in front of the board. And when I asked him on the show here what it would take to reverse that, he said it would take an overwhelming response from the community. Well, we've got 35,000 signatures. I would consider that overwhelming. So if you could touch on some of those things, I'd appreciate it. Thank you.
Sure.
Thanks, Nick.
I'm very engaged in the community. Certainly what I'm doing with the exchange shows that I'm very active in trying to encourage business and trying to encourage construction and trying to encourage workforce development. I believe that our local government needs to be way more engaged with the community and be responsive to what the community wants, excuse me, and what the community needs. My attitude is, like I do every day, I look at what direction is our community going in, and A, is it the right direction, and if not, what needs to be done. So I will be a big advocate of public safety. I am not a career politician. I will not make decisions that will best secure my position on a board or in any government position. The reason I am pursuing this is because I really believe I have the skill set and I'm in the position in my life where I can add some real value to our community. And I am going to act aggressively to do the things that I believe best reflect the needs of our community.
What Nick is talking about was, of course, the state of Jefferson wanted to come in and give a 15-minute brief, and they were not allowed to do that and said that we're not going to do it. Now, would you allow the would you encourage that?
Yes. I think any entity in our community that is acting responsibly and legally should have an opportunity to address an elected body. I would ask two things, that we keep it to 15 minutes to perhaps a half hour, and that it be civil and on point and not be personal attacks on anyone or anything like that. But I certainly believe that everyone has the right to address an elected body and have what they have to say heard. Whether the elected body agrees with it or not, that is not the issue. The issue is here is a democratic process.
What about the idea of having a meeting every so often at night?
I think that's a great idea. I go to most of the meetings. And it's
if
part
you have
of,
a job,
it's, well, it's, part
it's
of my,
really hard to
yes,
do.
It's part of my job. At least I've made it part of my job description to be aware of what's going on. So I go to a lot of city council meetings as well. But I think you need to have at least one meeting a month at night where people can come and talk about here are the issues that are most important to us, so that the board is not operating in isolation. And as an observer, that's what I see. I don't necessarily see them really appreciating what the community needs simply because they don't have a venue that allows the community to interact. Now, yesterday, the people from Palo Cedro packed the forum because of the Palo Cedro issue and the housing element. And
building those new,
yes,
new housing.
Yes, which they took off the agenda. But it was great to see democracy in action. And one of the people commented from Palo Cedro, "We've been quiet. We won't be quiet again." And I think that's important. I think it's important for the community to be engaged in what government is doing.
Now, this is the people that want to build 188 houses out there or something
they
like
wanted
that?
To build behind Allendale. They wanted to build low-income housing to meet the housing element requirements of the state.
And that was turned down?
It was taken off the agenda.
So that means that?
It means it can come back at another time.
But right now they're not going to do
it. No. Right, the county has to address this. This is really from 2014.
But they have to address it, and taking it off the agenda is not
no,
a way of addressing it.
It's pushed it off. They're going to have to find a location, and they're going to have to find housing to be. And right now all they have to do is have it zoned. They don't actually have to start building. They don't have to have a builder.
But we have to do this by state law.
By state law we have to do it. And now
in the county.
Now the court has stepped in and said, we've already given you 4 years. It's time.
And the people from Palo Cedro said, whoa, wait a minute, not my backyard.
People in Cottonwood did the same thing. And when you really look at logistically where they were looking, it really didn't make sense. It was going to put a tremendous burden on the school system. It was going to put a tremendous burden on the infrastructure. There was no mass transportation there.
Yeah.
I mean, it really didn't logistically.
When we say low-income housing, what are we talking about?
I couldn't give you a dollar amount.
Yeah, I mean, but it's like.
But it's for people who normally are priced out of the market under current market conditions.
Wow. In California, it means you can make $500,000 a year. If you live in San Francisco, you're not going to find a house.
It really depends on where you are.
Hey, we're here with Joe Comente running for a Board of Supervisors, District 1. We're going to take a quick break here. This portion of the show brought to you by Maxwell Insurance and Financial, helping families, seniors, business owners, and veterans since 1993. Located at 1378 Hilltop Drive, all your insurance and financial needs under one roof. And I'll tell you is that I have insurance with Judy Maxwell, and I'm very happy the way that I've been treated and the way I've been taken care of. Maxwell Insurance and Financial. Give her a call, 221-0441. We'll be right back.
Are you struggling financially? Swallowed up in debt? Are you looking to buy a house but are not sure of your credit standing?
What does that credit score even mean?
Why are there three different bureaus?
What score is most important?
Looking for a local expert?
Give me, Joe Rodola, a call. Your credit affects everything from borrowing money to landing that perfect job. With over 40 years of providing financial services, I am committed to helping you achieve your goal. I can provide you with full credit report and in-depth review for only $25. Let me provide you with the tools you need to improve your credit standing and your financial freedom. Give me a call today, Joe Rodola, 941-3021, or on the web at jrdebtconsulting.com. Your local choice in credit repair.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
One country act is great, but Red Sun Festival is bringing you five country acts on an outdoor stage to benefit car fire relief. It's a full-volume country fest on the Reading Civic Auditorium lawn, Sunday, September 30th, with Theron Rachels, David Lunning, Carly Pierce,
I remember every little thing.
Frankie Ballard, and headliners Eli Young Band. It's a huge show with a huge heart. $5 from every ticket, plus all net proceeds and donations from the bands go to car fire relief efforts. Every ticket matters. If the festival sells out, that's $250,000 donated. We promise bars, food trucks, and fun. So check out RedSunFestival.com for details. Rock all day Saturday, September 29th, and country on Sunday, September 30th on the Reading Civic lawn. Get tickets at RedSunFestival.com or the Reading Civic box office. Sponsored in part by Dutch Bros, 10 Barrel Brewing Company, and Budweiser.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell with Maxwell Insurance and Financial. As a community, we are all recovering from the car fire. We understand the seriousness of this disaster and the frustration of dealing with the insurance companies. Insurance policies can be very difficult to understand. If you have questions about your insurance policy and need help in any way, please feel free to give us a call at 221-0441. This is Judy Maxwell with Maxwell Insurance and Financial.
Securities offered through Mutual of Omaha Investor Services Incorporated, a registered broker-dealer member FINRA and SIPC. Advisory services offered through Mutual of Omaha Investor Services Incorporated, a SEC-registered investment advisory firm. Judy Maxwell, representative. Maxwell Insurance and Financial and Mutual of Omaha Investor Services Incorporated are not affiliated. The information presented is intended for educational purposes only. It is not intended to replace the advice of an attorney or a qualified tax professional. This is not an offer or solicitation in any jurisdiction where they are not authorized to do business. Registered branch address 1378 Hilltop Drive, Redding, California 96003.
You can take us with you anytime, anywhere, live with our streaming audio feed at KCNR1460.com.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio in the studios of KCNR 1460. It's 53 degrees, going up to 90 today. Air quality index is 153, but that shifts, you know, every other minute. Weather report brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane, 365-3793. This portion of the show brought to you by Home Helpers. Whether it's 2 hours a day or 24 hours a day, call Sharon Clark at 226-8350. She will come to your home and will work out a plan so she can take care of your loved ones in the way that you want them to be taken care of. Find out more at readyandhomehelpers.com. I'm with Joe Comente today. Besides being the executive director of the Builders Exchange, which is kind of an important thing at this point in our lives, also running for Shasta County Board of Supervisors District 1. And a question came in and it says, they understand under new construction there's going to be 2x6s instead of 2x4s.
That increases is that true? Yes, and that increases the insulation value. I think,
okay.
I think that,
more expensive.
Yeah, especially given the severity of heat that we get in this climate, that insulation increase will offset the cost of building it.
I've got so many questions asked about that, but I'm going to go back into our political side here. The public safety thing, we didn't build the ark. You said you want to build the ark. The fact that we've got to, you know, turn, it's just a revolving door.
Yes.
No matter what, if the city hires 10 more cops, a shift, we're still limited by that.
Yes.
Now the county, from what I understand, is looking at putting a hall out there around the Good News Rescue Mission that allows people to come in during the day.
They're talking about a jail diversion system, and this is something that Donnell Ewart came up with, who heads Health and Human Services. And I sat down with him. He's a very engaged man who is trying diligently to, I believe, to play a positive role. And my comments to him, for what they were worth, was, before we even begin to talk in any length about this, you have to have a very detailed plan, you have to have a very specific model, and you have to show places where it's worked and how it's worked. Because, you know, you're talking about moving homeless people from one area to another. I personally, in theory, agree with it because I think we need some kind of processing facility. Right now we have South City Park is not a processing facility. It's a place where they just go and do whatever they want. And it's not just homeless people, and I don't mean to mix them all together.
Everybody I think is on the same sheet of paper.
There's transients.
Homeless people, they want help. They can get help.
Yeah, right.
Some of them, if it's a jail yard, like the chief says, that needs to be handled.
Right. Right. So that I think this jail diversion program is worthy of further investigation. And again, I think we need a very detailed model that then can be presented to the public. But I think it's a good thought process, and one we should be
encouraging. What we should be looking at.
Yes, absolutely.
Something like that.
Yeah, there's really nothing we shouldn't be looking at.
Okay, the idea of tiny homes, all these things for homeless people, are we looking at those things too?
Yeah, I think the biggest issue that we face is going from entitlement and enabling to empowering. To just feed a person without teaching them how to earn food is just, you're not doing them any good, and you're just continuing the cycle of poverty. And that's, unfortunately, the hardest cycle to break right now, is that people shouldn't have this sense of they're entitled to something. They should have this sense of that they're part of a community, and being part of a community and contributing to whatever way they can to that community, they will receive benefit from that. And I think that's the transition that we have to start making, because right now it's generational. If a young child sees mom and dad put their hand out and food or something gets placed in their hand, that young child's going to learn that that's how it works. Just like you and I learned that our parents went to work and they worked hard, and you had to work hard if you
wanted
to
accomplish the things. We got up and we worked.
Yeah, I mean, that's,
you know, we worked around the house and all.
It's really how that has to work.
Okay, we have another question here.
Yes, on the Facebook page, we have Francis asking, what is going to happen to the homeless on the streets along the river and in some of the county areas with the new housing project?
Oh, we're talking about the jail diversion program?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, the jail diversion program is designed, again, and I don't mean to be callous, but the word in my mind is processing. You're going to be able to process people, and you want to engage Hill Country, and you want to engage Northern Valley Catholic Social Services, and you want to engage One Safe Place, and you want to engage the mission. You need to have caseworkers there, people that can sit down and talk to these people and really find out how it is they can help them, or if, in fact, they want help, or if, in fact, they're criminals that need to be in jail. But there needs to be some kind of filtration system that allows the police to tell them, you can't be here. You have to get up and you have to leave, and you can go to this location. And again, in theory, it has promise, but the devil's always in the details.
Yeah.
And we really, as a community, have to engage in truly vetting how can this process best work.
Okay, we got about 3 minutes left. Joe, tell us what you want to accomplish while you're if you're elected, what do you want to accomplish, at least in the first 6 months?
I certainly want to bring more awareness back to the need for public safety. We need to get more deputies on the road. As a person who was in law enforcement, albeit only for 7 years, but it's long enough to learn how
the taste.
The process works. Growing up in a family of police officers, having a son in law enforcement, I think it's very critical that we're providing enough police coverage for our community. And sending a deputy to a remote area without her having any backup into an unknown situation is potentially very dangerous for her, very dangerous for the potential victims. So number one is we need more police officers.
I think Sacramento just lost a deputy yesterday.
Yes,
was killed, and
yes.
Two more wounded.
27-year-old kid just got married and just gave his life.
But this is, you know, it takes 2 hours to get a deputy out to a house that calls for help.
Yes, and we've actually gone out and told people in remote areas, we won't be able to provide you with police service. That's and I'm not criticizing the sheriff's office. I'm just saying that that's a standard that we can no longer accept, and that we have to figure out the ways, just like you figure out the ways to get the money to improve your business, knowing that it's a risk. And knowing that you don't know what the return on that's going to be, but you believe that it will be good, we have to do the same thing. Our goal is to protect the community. And I've said this, that I think the county is more interested in protecting their budget than they are in protecting the community. And it's time to protect the community. And that means you may have to take some risk. You need to be financially pragmatic. And by that I mean, like you do, you look at the investment. You have a calculated return on that investment. You know it's a risk, but you take it. We need to bring those same principles to government, because we have a responsibility to improve the quality of life of our citizens and provide them with a safe environment for them, for their children, for their grandchildren. That's how this system is supposed to work.
Joe Comente, running for Board of Supervisors, District 1. How do people get a hold of you?
You can go to Joe Comente, that's Joechii Cometti, because there's no phonetic way around that name. JoeCometti.com, and that's my website. And you can see that I'm endorsed by, very proudly endorsed by Chief Blankenship, in writing, Sheriff Pope, Sheriff Basenko. So I certainly have law enforcement community in my corner, and I'm very proud of that.
Okay, Joe Comente. Hey, we're going to take a quick break for the news here, and we welcome Sheriff Tom Basenko right after Joe here. We'll be right back.
The news is brought to you on KCNR, Shasta, Redding, by Tobacco & Brew. Come see their newly remodeled store at 2143 Hilltop Drive in Redding. Tobacco & Brew, open 7 days a week.
Because he wants to hear directly from Christine Ford about her allegation against Brett Kavanaugh.
If she shows up and makes a credible showing, that'll be very interesting, and we'll have to make a decision. But I can only say this, he is such an outstanding man. Very hard for me to imagine that anything happened.
As for what is next,
Monday is her shot. That's the line echoed by the Senate GOP after it invited Ford to appear before the Senate Judiciary Committee. Republican leaders are pushing back against Ford's demand that the FBI investigate her allegation before she appears.
Sagar Magani reporting. The president is in North Carolina this morning to survey storm damage from Hurricane Florence. In Pyongyang this morning, South and North Korea announcing a sweeping set of agreements that include a promise by Kim Jong-un to permanently dismantle the North's main nuclear complex if the U.S. takes a similar action. The two Koreas also announcing a joint bid to host the 2032 Olympics. Hundreds of McDonald's workers in cities across the country staged a multi-state walkout yesterday. They're protesting what they say is sexual harassment.
The public does not know what we go through behind the counters, the cash registers, even in the bathrooms, in the janitor's closets. But today, the world will find out more.
McDonald's has issued a statement saying it already has strong policies in place to prevent harassment. President Trump says he's prepared to impose a 25% tax on an additional $267 billion in Chinese imports.
China's been taking advantage of the United States for a long time. And that's not happening anymore. We can't let that happen.
China says the disputes must be worked out through consultation. Wall Street appears unfazed by the tough talk on trade. The Dow this morning up about 170 points. More on these stories from townhall.com.
If you or anyone you love has been diagnosed with lung cancer, asbestosis, or mesothelioma, your diagnosis may be the result of job-related exposure to asbestos, and you may be entitled to compensation. Over $30 billion in trusts have been set aside for individuals who have been affected by asbestos exposure. How do you protect your rights and get the compensation you deserve? Call Capital Legal Group now at 800-400-LUNG. Capital Legal Group is one of the nation's resources for settlement of lung cancer and mesothelioma cases. Law firms have successfully recovered over $2.7 billion for their clients in all 50 states, and claims have been paid in as little as 60 days. If you or a family member were diagnosed with lung cancer, asbestosis, or mesothelioma, call Capital Legal Group now at 800-400-LUNG. We'll open a no-cost case review on your behalf. A history of tobacco use or cigarette smoking will not disqualify your case. Visit 800-400-LUNG.com or call 800-400-LUNG. Call 800-400-5864 now. That's 800-400-LUNG.
President Trump is defending his decision to declassify records surrounding the Russia investigation.
President Trump says he's exposing really bad things that are happening within the intelligence community.
I want total transparency.
And the Justice Department says it's begun complying, although it's possible that agency heads will propose ways to withhold certain information or limit the damage, such as outing sources. Democratic leaders are saying the material is too secret for disclosure, and they object to the president's involvement in an ongoing investigation. But President Trump and his supporters want those records out, saying they will reveal law enforcement bias. Jackie Quinn, Washington.
The president also renewing his attacks on Attorney General Jeff Sessions, telling Hill.tv, "I don't have an attorney general." Mr. Trump again complaining that Sessions recused himself from the Russia probe, saying that he did not need to do that. News and analysis, townhall.com. A tragic story out of Iowa where a promising collegiate golfer from Spain has been killed.
Thalia Barquin Arizamena was Iowa State University's Female Athlete of the Year and was working to join the Women's Pro Golf Tour. She was found stabbed to death at a local course. Harley Thornton was on the golf course just a short time before Arizamena was killed.
This very nice young lady came up with her push cart, and we all agreed that she should go in front of us.
Thornton teared up when thinking about what happened to her.
It's could have been my daughter.
Police say the man arrested is homeless and has a history of violence. I'm Ed Donahue.
The Trump administration wants to boost efforts to protect us from a biological attack.
Bio and chem are often referred to as the poor man's nuclear weapon, so they're particularly attractive to terrorist groups.
National Security Advisor John Bolton. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio in the studios at KCNR 1460 in downtown Reading at the epicenter of change. Right down here, I'm looking down the block, and I'm waiting to see all these cranes start showing up. And, the cranes where, you start building the Dickers building, and then the one behind us, and then, of course, the courthouse and all those things. Just waiting here. The news is brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. Check it out there. Open 7 days a week. Enhanced walk-in humidor and same great customer service. All this at Tobacco and Brew. And the weather report is today. Widespread haze, patchy smoke, high with a high near 90 tonight, a low near 59. And if you can take it through next Tuesday, it's about that. A little bit of smoke, patchy haze. But by the weekend, they're talking about sunny, mostly clear, but you can't tell because, as we all know, if the wind shifts, it becomes excruciatingly bad. The air quality index is 142 right now, down from 155 when we first started. But again, as we know, that changes as the wind blows. Weather report brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane, veteran-owned business out of Anderson. Great people down there, Chuck and Judy Kenny, give discounts for seniors and veterans. They have a payment plan. They have it all down there at Shasta Gas Propane.
We have an update on the Delta fire, which is now at 87% containment. We are holding strong, just over 60,000 acres.
Cool. This portion of the show brought to you by Four Winds Jewelry, 2225 Hilltop Drive. There are small repairs and cleaning of jewelry that was caught in the fire. They do it for free at Four Winds Jewelry. 2225 Hilltop Drive, open Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 4. One of the only, maybe two of them, full-service jewelry stores in Reading. Four Winds Jewelry. So I'm here with Gene Randall, Lieutenant Gene Randall from the Sheriff's Department. And you are the deputy, is that right, deputy coroner or...
Very close. I'm the chief deputy coroner for the sheriff's office, and I also am the station commander for the patrol operations division, which is operated out of the South County campus over off Breslauer.
Okay. So how do you – coroner. What is the coroner's duties?
You know, the coroner's is a very interesting position in the state where in most populations that are under 500,000 people, it's a sheriff-coroner system.
Mm-hmm.
So your Sheriff Tom Pasenko is also the coroner, and the duties that devolve upon him are to investigate deaths, both natural and that fall in the five manors in the state of California and here in Shasta County.
In the five?
Yeah, when we're dealing with the death investigation portion, it's separated in manner and cause.
Oh, okay.
And we're very fortunate in this county because we have a fully functional coroner's office with a morgue. We have Dr. Deirdre Amaro, who's our pathologist, mm-hmm. a very talented woman. We have four investigators, a custodian of records, and then I manage that operation as the lieutenant.
Okay, so tell me, are you playing a Quincy kind of guy?
You know what?
Or do you remember? Wait a minute, you're kind of young. Do you even remember Quincy? It's Medical Examiner. It was a TV show.
I vaguely remember it. Yes.
You know, I just aged myself. Jack Klugman played a medical examiner, and he was always coming up with things, for like 5 years it was on the air.
Yeah, so. It's a very interesting position, especially, TV sensationalizes it quite a bit. There's some things that are added for the drama effect, and we do see that. especially when people think there's a necessity to identify remains, and it seems like that aha moment on TV. But in the future, we have so much technology, there's really no need for that anymore.
How about the give me the DNA back tomorrow?
Yeah, you know, in 15-minute increments and a couple commercial breaks, they have it solved. But in the real world, you know, those things take time.
Well, you know, you look at it that, you know, when they're running DNA now and turning people loose that have been in jail for 30 years or, you know, because DNA didn't match. But I guess it's just because now they're just starting to get around to making sure they have everybody's DNA.
Yeah, that is true. As the database increases, then, you did mention the rare instances, there are people that are exonerated, but there are also far more people that are convicted as a result of cold cases.
How many, it seems to me is that we're having a lot of, and it's just as anecdotal, it's based on my memory, which could be totally gone. But it seems like we're having more violence, and it seems like there's been more homicides in Shasta County in this last year than I remember before. And
yeah.
The latest being these two, I get homeless or transients in the city of Shasta Lake that were just found dead.
Yeah, there is a slight uptick in violent crime, and there was a recent study, I believe it was in 2012, that showed a noticeable increase among Shasta County. Some of the property crimes are down, which is good, but obviously the violent crime is very, very eye-raising, and especially with the homicide rate, we're dealing with per capita stats, and so it's a relatively small county with 180,000 people. So if we do end up with 9 or 10 homicides in a year, per capita stats are very high.
We have, like, I think there's like 37, 38 people in jail right now in homicide, for homicide. I mean, I don't know exactly, but it was something like that before somebody brought in the stats.
Right.
But that isn't just for this year, of course. It's probably for the last 2 or 3 years.
Right. And for the county jail, obviously the function there is to deal with the issue of public safety and to keep those folks in custody. And you're absolutely correct. They could have been sitting there pending trial due to delays for the last couple of years.
So the crime statistics, you said they're starting to drop a little bit in the property crimes?
I've noticed a slight decrease, yes, in property crimes.
What kind of property crimes?
That would be reportable for the Unified Crime Report, such as residential burglaries, grand theft, petty thefts, shoplifting.
We're not the car theft capital of California anymore?
You know, car theft is on the rise. That's more of, I believe, a city of Redding you know, that's isolated there. Not that we don't capture that particular statistic and we're not concerned, but that we don't have the traffic as a primary function in the unincorporated area, so it's more of a CHP-type statistic and an issue for them.
Okay, because it just, you know, it arrested that one guy that had something like 500 car thefts. And he was, you know, I started when I was 14. And he's been arrested I don't know how many times. Does that get a little frustrating to you all? That when you all pick up somebody and it's, I mean, it's like the 32nd time they've been arrested in the last 6 months. Does that get frustrating?
It does, you know, and it certainly, you could certainly see the mark that it leaves on my staff on the patrol operations side. And the patrol deputies, it seems like we're spending about 80 to 85% of our time dealing with about 5% of the population. And in that, you know, hopefully with the expansion of the jail beds, we're going to be able to have the ability to keep more people in custody and stop that revolving door, get people to court.
Well, we're going to talk about that in the next segment. But do you ever think about just taking, like, really a bad guy and dropping him off in Hayfork? Tell him not come back if you find, you know, get out of town.
You know what? That thought has never crossed my mind.
I'm sure it hasn't.
We take him to jail and, you know, let the courts sort it out.
This is when you want the camera to watch the lieutenant's face. And he's going, and he just is so straight when he says that. And he goes, no, that's never crossed our minds. So we're going to take a break. We're here with Lieutenant Gene Randall, who is the Deputy Assistant Coroner. Chief Deputy Coroner and for the County of Shasta. And we're going to come back. We're going to talk about jail space and a couple other things. This portion of the show brought to you by Cornerstone Community Bank. You've been touched by the fire. They've been touched by the fire. But they are still there, still wanting to help. Going down to the newest branch at 1845 California Street and talk to them, expanded hours and everything, about how they can help, because they do want to move your local dreams forward. That's Cornerstone Community Bank. We'll be right back.
Seasons are changing. Keeping your family healthy is important. So is the health of your car. The longevity and reliability of your vehicle depends on you to make sure your oil, radiator coolant, windshield wipers, and other vital systems have all been taken care of so your car can bring your healthy family through the seasons. If all you need is an in-cabin air filter change, come on in. No appointment necessary. Drive into Premier Oil Change today and experience the friendly oil change. Premier doesn't require an appointment, and you don't drop your car off or wait. Premier changes your fluids while you stay in the comfort and safety of your own car. Enjoy a free beverage and free Wi-Fi while our trained technicians perform our comprehensive 30-point certified service. Earn free oil changes with Premier Rewards. Learn more at PremierOilChange.com or visit us in Palo Cedro in the Holiday Market Shopping Center or on Lake Boulevard next to Waterworks Park. Both locations get you a free car wash with every oil change.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier, your friendly oil change.
Premier Oil Change, home of the friendly oil change.
Yeah, you'll stop. I have the right of way. Or really, Alan Gordon here, Coachmaster Collision Repair. Don't count on it. He or she might be texting, changing the station on the radio, or breaking up a fight in the back seat. Don't take that chance. Lives are at stake. Distracted driving is a danger to us all. You can be proactive in preventing an accident. There's not much you can do when you're sitting in your car and they back into your door. If this happens to you, come see us. We're located at the south end of Eastside Road just before Girvan. With your claim number, we can handle your entire claim process. Our quality repairs and friendly service will have you recommending Coachmaster to all your friends and family. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Coachmaster Collision Repair continues to be the leader in the North State for advanced technology in the collision repair industry, serving the Redding community since 1969. Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
The annual Redding East Rotary Ducky Derby is coming September 30th at Redding's Codwell Park. Be a part of the Redding East Rotary's effort to keep our kids drug and alcohol free. First prize is a 16-sleeper houseboat vacation from Shasta Marina, valued at $2,700. Details on all the other amazing prizes, sponsor, or ticket information, go to ReddingDuckyDerby.com or call 225-8583. The 29th Annual Ducky Derby, September 30th in Codwell Park. Get your tickets today. Brought to you by KCNR 1460 AM.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon to 2.
Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than the mainstream media soundbites.
Here on KCNR 1460 AM, we've got the experts on politics, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, property rights, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
The archives are always available online at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join Aaron and Bill this Sunday at noon for We the People. You'll hear great authors and commentators, professors and scientists, activists and military experts, researchers and whistleblowers, all spending time to inform us about their areas of expertise. We the People, brought to you by Team Power of Shasta Lake, your local Kubota and John Deere dealer. Call them at 530-226-9226. We the People on AM 1460 KCNR.
The hotline is open on KCNR 1460, 530-605-4567.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio in the studios of KCNR 1460 with Carl and DeBob. Linda's on assignment today, and she's going to be with us tomorrow at the Caffeinate. What is it? Caffeinate Now?
Caffeinate for a Cause. And
Caffeinate for a Cause. I mean, like, I always need a cause to caffeinate, like, to keep my eyes open. But we're going to be down on North Market Street at the Dutch Bros right there. We know where the Turtle Bay School is. We're going to be live on the air, and we're going to, I think it's going to be the people from Topspin or
True Ride.
True Ride. There it is. It's the spinning thing. Okay, True Ride are going to be the baristas there. But a dollar of every drink is donated back into Turtle Bay from 7 to 9, and then again from 2 to 4. So stop by there. All the tips you give the baristas, all that gets donated right back into Turtle Bay. Last year they made around $30,000, which helps pay for things like the butterfly exhibit, the lorikeets, all those things. So join us tomorrow, 7 o'clock. Come on down. If you don't really drink a lot of coffee, or you just want to drop off a $100 bill with us, please do that, and we'll just put it in the donation cup there.
And I do believe they compete among the baristas for the most tips.
It gets vicious out there.
They will be at the North Market Dutch Bros. Not the one in downtown,
not
but the one downtown, closer to Turtle Bay.
That's not us.
And so you want to help Carl and Linda win that competition.
Well, no, you know what? You can come down, but we're not a barista. We're going to just be doing we're going to just be reporting on happening there.
All right.
Okay. This portion of the show, by the way, is brought to you by Alliance Heating and Air. I saw Alliance Heating and Air this morning, 6:15 this morning, down by a house. People moved into this house down the street, and they're just completely redoing it. And Alliance Heating and Air was there. It's been there for a couple of days. Looks like they're putting in all new systems there. And they picked the perfect company for this, Alliance Heating and Air. Been in the business for over 25 years, a better-known business. Great, great services who does all of our HVAC work. Give them a call at 221-2642 or check out their website at homecomfort.org, Alliance Heating and Air. We're joined today. Sheriff DeSinkle is not in the area, by Lieutenant Gene Randall, who is the Chief Deputy Coroner.
Correct.
Chief Deputy Coroner. Okay. You know, I should write that down. Okay. Chief Deputy Coroner for Shasta. But you're also in charge of the patrol.
Yeah. I'm also the station commander for the South County Patrol Operations Station. Okay. And that's going to encompass most of the valley, Palo Cedro down to Cottonwood, up to Lakehead, and out west to the county line with Trinity.
We've been promised by all the powers that we're going to have 102 more beds in our jail by January.
That is correct.
What do you think?
I think it's a wonderful step in the right direction.
And is it going to happen?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Okay. I spoke with my counterpart, Lieutenant Marler, this morning, and the project is underway. It's anticipated to be completed sometime around January of next year, and that's going to increase our bed space to 102 beds.
Okay, well, 102 beds is good, because I think we've been told is that you've got like 300 and something, let's just say 300 men and boys and girls that we have arrested 2,700 times, something like that. They're like, or, you know, it's like 8 times a piece or 6 times a piece, and they just keep coming back.
Yeah, that is something, a trend that we're seeing in the county, whereas before I would sit through court maybe, you know, 10 years ago, someone would come in with a few failure to appears, but it seems like there is an increase in numbers of folks that are coming through with multiple warrants that just aren't taking care of their warrants.
Is it because that when they have a failure to appear, it's because, you know, they're turned loose? I mean, they get a ticket for something, like for possession, or they don't go to jail if they steal something out of a car. They probably don't even go to jail if they steal a car, do they? I mean, if somebody just came out right now and took my car and drove it across town, right, and you find it, but you find him in it, is he going to go to jail?
Yeah, they would typically be arrested for possession of stolen property. The laws have somewhat changed in that respect to where auto theft is now based on value, the same as the delineating line between misdemeanor theft and felony grand theft.
Okay, so my truck, let's just say my truck's worth $10,000.
Yeah, we put it in the realm of a felony.
Okay. Is he going to go to jail?
Yes.
I mean, you're going to arrest him. You're going to bring him in.
Correct.
But realistically, is he going to be spending the night there?
You know, it's a good question. You know, people have a right to bail. So there's a likelihood that people do bail out of custody.
Mm-hmm.
Depending on the jail population, there's a chance that they could be released on OR. And there's also a chance that if it's during a weekday, they can go to court and be released on their own recognizance and placed on an ankle monitor as well. So there's a couple different options why people would be released.
Mm-hmm.
Generally, you know, our preference would be that they stay there until they either bail or the court ORs them and puts them on some sort of tracking device so we can monitor those folks when they're released.
Well, that's what you would like to do, but what usually happens?
You know, the reality of it is that we do sometimes have to release people that have committed felony thefts and property crimes. And in order to deal with some of the bigger issues of public safety, like we had mentioned, we have, you know, 29 to 30 folks that are sitting there on homicide.
I'm not trying to put you on the spot. I want people to understand here what's going on. I think most do, but if somebody steals your car and you just, you know what, you want to put them in jail, but he hasn't hurt anybody. They've arrested him or her. That they have to look at turning him loose in society, or the guy that's just pulled a knife on somebody out in the street. You know, which one of them they're going to keep. I mean, it really comes down to that. Who's the more dangerous to society?
Yeah, and I think that's very well stated. You know, the staff over the jail has a very difficult job to make those decisions. But they have to be made in accordance with the issues of public safety and making sure that we're placing violent mm-hmm. crime ahead of property crime in order to keep our community safer. And I think that the additional 102 beds at the jail space is a step in the right direction where we could actually it really increases our ability to hold people accountable and keep them in custody.
You know, I think that isn't that the bottom line, that if we had another 300 bed facility, would solve like 60-70% of our problems.
You know, it's a good question, and it would relate to opinion, and certainly my opinion on the matter is the more people that we can keep in custody and force them into the courtroom rather than letting them go and then having to catch them again on failure to appear is obviously going to help. But there is a lot of reasons that people commit crimes, and which is, you know, AB 109 looks at different reasons as to why people commit crimes, whether that be indigency, whether it be substance abuse, mental health issues. So that is also in line with what we're looking at. So in essence, if we were to build, you know, a 2,000-bed facility, could we fill it with criminals? Probably. But the idea is to look at recidivism as well.
Okay, that was a big smile on my face. Could we fill it? I think that Tom, the Sheriff Pasinko, has said that a town our size should have like a 1,000-bed facility.
Yeah, I think I believe that's correct.
For the county, I should say, not just the town.
Right.
But for the county with 198,000 people.
Yeah, and I would certainly echo that as well, to be able to keep at least 1% of the population.
I know, and this sounds terrible, but... Ooh. When you've got 1% of the population causing so much of a problem here, where you can't, you've got to lock everything up. You know what you're saying? Well, you know, it seems like some of these are going down. Maybe it's because people have finally gotten to the point that one of two things, they're locking their stuff up, or it's gotten to be that nothing's going to happen. I mean, you know, there's no results of it.
Yeah, and that's the interesting thing about statistics, especially with Unified Crime Report, is that you're absolutely right. It could show a lower trend, but the question that we have to ask as a community is that because we're educating the public better. They are locking their doors. They're taking the time to take things out of plain view and protecting themselves from being victims. Or does it mean that they've lost confidence in reporting crime?
One of the things you said was the technology is getting so advanced now. There was a question here about, and this was before my time, about a young lady named Tessa Smith. Are you familiar with this? The one that I think she was kidnapped. And they found her dead, and they never did charge anybody with it. You know that there was a suspect.
Yeah, I think it, you know, I wasn't with Shasta County Sheriff's Office at that time, but I believe it was the Tara Smith case.
Yeah.
And I think the facts might, that fact pattern might be a little bit incorrect, but I'm not entirely familiar with the case.
Well, they said that the suspect, they looked at the car and the truck and all that kind of stuff, but, you know, they couldn't find anything. Is it way too late? Because I imagine they must have collected so much stuff so much evidence from the crime. And now with the new technology, is there a way to go back and look at that?
You know, it's a good question. I did look at the case briefly while I worked over mm-hmm. in major crimes as a detective. So I know some of the details about it. As far as the technology be able to help in that particular case, I couldn't say yes or no.
Okay.
There are certain times and or in cases that we've seen where DNA submissions have been submitted and linked to unknown criminals. So in other words, perhaps there was a sexual assault taken in Sacramento and there was DNA obtained during the investigation. And let's say 20 years later, another person is arrested. Their DNA is in the database. And then they get a hit, mm-hmm. and sometimes those crimes are solved in that way, in that fashion.
I think that's what they do with this killer up someplace. It's killed, I forget, 15 women. He was a former police officer for a while. They just arrested him not too long ago because of DNA.
Correct.
From years ago. I tell you what, let's go to the phones here. We'll extend our break a little bit. Nick, good morning.
Hey.
Hang on. Wait a second, Nick. Okay. You got a question.
Thank you for extending that. I wanted to tell you about Tara Smith. They never found a body with her. And they did have a suspect, and one of the things I remember about that is he had gone to Chico, changed the tires on his pickup, and took the remaining tires with him, and nobody ever found him. It was obviously, it looked like he was covering up evidence. I wanted to ask your guest
here,
how many deputies are on patrol? In any given time, I'm very concerned about the Happy Valley area down around the Rancheria and Anderson.
Yeah, that's a good question. Generally, for patrol operations, we're running with a sergeant as a supervisor, and at a minimum staffing level, three deputies for the valley. And that's it. Hopefully, knock on wood, if we keep everybody healthy, we got a couple, I think three trainees that are due to rotate off, which will put the patrol operations station at a sergeant four, and we're looking to fill our Shingletown post in the first part of October. So in short, to answer your question, for the Valley Division itself, you have a sergeant and about four deputies on. We also have a sergeant and two to three deputies on at a time in the city of Shasta Lake, and then the Burney Basin usually is staffed with a sergeant and two.
Is that an adequate number?
I beg your pardon?
Is that adequate?
We would prefer to see our staffing levels come up, but that in itself, I could speak to that. It's been very difficult to hire. In 2015, there was a study conducted that showed there was a 603% increase in openings from 2010 in law enforcement. So whether the service-oriented people are overseas or the private sector is climbing and there's good-paying jobs to be had there, either way, it's impacted all of our departments where we're all struggling and fighting over the same candidates to get them into our departments and through our field training program.
One more quick question. When you have a call, say a disturbance, maybe narcotics, maybe petty theft or something, do you generally send one officer or is it two or three?
It would just the call itself would dictate the response. And a lot of the deputies have discretion on whether or not they need a backup unit. A lot of times they're starting with a phone call and to the reporting party to find out what's going on and get real-time information. However, the calls for service operate on a priority basis, and my watch commanders will sort those out, and if they feel that they need additional resources, we can call for them. So while, in other words, we might have two or three sergeants on and 9 to 10 deputies countywide, but if you end up in an isolated area, let's say maybe out in French Gulch, we can call our friends at CHP, we can call our friends at Fish and Game, and we can get some help.
Thanks a bunch. Have a great day.
You too. Thank
Thanks
you.
A lot, Nick. Okay, hey, we're going to take a quick break here. I'm with Lieutenant Gene Randall of the Sheriff's Department, Chief Deputy Coroner. And I've got several questions, but we also know is that, so I got Lieutenant Randall. I can hold him here for a while. But we're going to take a quick break here. This portion of the show brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center, located in the heart of downtown Reading. When it comes to quality, compassion, and community, Shasta Regional Medical Center is the community's choice. It is 8:33 in the morning, 54 degrees, going up to 90 today. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Chuck Kinney, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. There's a joke around our company that our propane is better than other companies' propane.
The fact is that most propane sold in the North State is manufactured in the same refineries in the Bay Area, so there's really no difference. However, there can be a big difference between propane companies. When you call Shasta Gas, you will be greeted by a friendly, knowledgeable customer service representative that will answer your questions or concerns and even give you an approximate time that your delivery will be there if you need to know. If you want, you can also talk to the owner, me. There may also be a big difference in prices between companies. Our motto at Shasta Gas is our customers are warm friends. So for safety, service, and savings, and to experience this difference, give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
This is Andy Main bringing you a news update from high-speed internet provider ShastaBeam.com. We've had a great response from the community regarding the recent car fire from residents who were evacuated or had their homes burned. We're happy to report that all of our towers providing high-speed internet services are in operation, and we're installing new equipment on those towers that suffered fire damage. We continue to send our condolences to those who suffered losses, and we are still offering expedited installation services to those who need high-speed internet and phone services installed at their addresses. Call us today at 605-2203 or Google ShastaBeam.com on your smartphone to pre-qualify your address or to inquire about our services. ShastaBeam has been providing high-speed wireless services to the North State since 2004. We provide services to all areas that have slow internet. Call ShastaBeam today at 605-2203 or visit ShastaBeam.com to pre-qualify your address and order online today. This is Andy Main wishing you fast, reliable internet from ShastaBeam.com.
That doesn't happen to men.
It's not just a woman's issue.
It only happened once.
I will intervene.
But he's such a nice guy.
We will look out for each other.
What did she think would happen?
I will step in.
It's just the way people are.
It's on us to change the future for our children.
We will change the culture.
Get involved. One safe place. OSPShasta.org/change the culture.
A true tribute band comprised of the best musicians and performers specializing in a complete Beatles concert production. Join us Friday, October 5th at 7:30 p.m. as Wind River Resort and Casino welcomes Paperback Writer. The Beatles Experience live in the Event Center. Hear the hits from the Ed Sullivan Show through the colorful Sgt. Pepper's years. And on the rooftops of Let It Be, performed with spot-on vocals, looks, and sounds. Paperback Writer is guaranteed to bring audiences the most precise experience of the Beatles. Remarkable. Authentic, amazing vocals, a must-see show. Purchase your tickets now at the River Club or WinRiver.com. Tickets for this are just $12.50 each or a table of 10 for $100. Don't miss your chance to see Paperback Writer, the Beatles Experience, in concert at the Wind River Resort and Casino Event Center Friday, October 5th. A good time will be had by all. Must be 21 to attend. Download the Wind River app on Google Play or the Apple Store. Concerts are better. Paperback Writer at the River.
Hear us streaming 24/7 at KCNR1460.com.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio. Good morning, everybody. It's 8:30. Oh, no. It is. It's 8:37 in the morning. And on here on the 19th of September, 54 degrees, going up to 90 degrees today. And if you could look at today's, it's going to be like this for about a week. I want to remind everybody that Linda and I will be out at the Dutch Bros on North Market Street there at the turn to go to Turtle Bay School tomorrow from 7 to 9 on Caffeinate for a Cause. We'll be there from 7 to 9 and with the baristas, and a dollar from every drink is donated to Turtle Bay. And thank the Resiners for that. Plus, all tips will go back to Turtle Bay, and they do it again from 2 to 4. This portion of the show brought to you by our friends over at Cypress Square Barbershop, a better-known business that gives discounts for seniors and veterans. They've been supporting our show since before we had the station. They supported it at our last station we were at. So they've been with us for almost 12 years. A lot to say about that and Cypress Square Barbershop, plus the fact it's man's last stronghold. And so many of the sheriff's deputies and the police get their haircut there, as do so many other people. Cypress Square Barbershop. Hey, I'm here with Lieutenant Gene Randall. He's the Chief Deputy Coroner. And And also, you're head of the southeast division.
Yeah, our patrol operations.
Patrol operations down there. So, if you have questions, for patrol operations. We had about how many deputies we have on, on call or out there, with the sheriff and whatever, the sergeants. He's got all those answers like that. And we've talked about how we're going to have 102 new beds here by January. Hoorah! See if that what impact that has. But going into the coroner's office. You have, when people die, do you do an autopsy on every one of them that comes into your office?
That's a great question. And there is a misconception that in fact, we are performing postmortem autopsies on each decedent, when in actuality, that's not entirely correct. So we talked briefly about manner and causes, and the law enforcement branch of that system would look at the manner, whether that be an accident, homicide, natural death, undetermined, and then our forensic pathologist is charged with providing us with a cause because she has the medical expertise to do so. So under the government code, the responsibility that devolves upon the coroner, and that would be your sheriff, Tom Vasenko, and then me and his adjutant in that position, we would investigate into a death and inquire so far as we see fit. And there are some deaths that are not reportable to the coroner's office, and then there's some that are classified as reportable. So an example of a non-reportable death, if someone died of natural causes, they're with the absence of lethal injuries, and they've seen their doctor within about 1 to 20 days, and the doctor can provide sufficient cause for death. In many instances, those deaths are not reported to our office. And instances where they would be reported, let's say a motor vehicle collision.
So somebody in their 50s, seen the doctor, hey, guy's in great shape, and he dies. Do you all perform an autopsy then?
What we would do is look at the medical records, and if they were without lethal injuries and we were confident there was a natural case. But in the example you're providing, it doesn't sound like there's a very sufficient cause for the doctor to sign. And perhaps maybe the doctor would look at that and say, I don't feel comfortable signing.
Natural causes.
To a natural cause because there's no real evidence of disease progression.
Okay.
Then we would look at that objectively, and in that circumstance, we would probably perform an autopsy.
Okay, because I see things when I'm looking in the obituaries, died natural causes, and they're like 65. That kind of scares me. When I start seeing, they're saying people at 58, 60, they're dying of natural causes. And I'm not sure what natural cause would be for that. I guess it could be like your arteries are all clogged up or something. But is that a natural cause?
Yeah, there's several, natural causes that would cause somebody or that would lead to their demise. And, I would encourage everybody to regularly get checkups.
Yeah.
Because atherosclerotic cardiovascular disease is something that's prominent, in our community.
Hey, Lieutenant Randall, I'm really enjoying this, especially when you're talking about, in the coroner's office, because as when you get into CSI, and all this, they expect miracles, immediately. What would be your most unusual case that you've been in that there was kind of like a little surprise there? I mean, you don't have to give the, specifics, but have you had one of those?
Yeah, we've had a couple cases, and that's one thing, too, is that the coroner's office staff I have is extremely talented. For example, we hired one of our recent deputy coroner investigators who's working toward our master's in anthropology, which is excellent for us because we get a lot of bones.
That makes sense.
And sometimes, I cautiously use the word excited, but a lot of times we do come across these issues, especially with the fire, where people are finding remains of different animals and perhaps people, and we get a chance to use that expertise we've recruited to our office, and we're able to type it and rule out if it's human remains or not human remains. And the reason I say it's so exciting is because we're that much more closer of a step to being autonomous and not having to rely on, let's say, Chico State Anthropology, because we have our own experts that are in-house.
Have you ever had a case where people thought it was natural causes and you found out it wasn't? I mean, this isn't a big city, so, I mean, so when I talk like that, it'd be kind of like maybe a drug overdose or...
Yeah, we talked about this, on publicly a couple times, but one of the biggest examples And I'll try and be as brief as possible. Let's say that you have a farmer that's working at home, mm-hmm. and he's on his tractor. And farmer falls off tractor. Unfortunately, tractor runs over farmer, and unfortunately, farmer perishes. And, you know, the responding deputies, deputy coroners might look at that and say, okay, this looks like an accident. When, in fact, once we do the postmortem autopsy, the doctor might say, not so fast, this is some sort of a cardiac event which caused the farmer to fall off mm-hmm. the tractor. And we do have some that take a turn that way. Same thing with vehicle collisions. Sometimes on the onset, it might look like we have a traffic collision, but once we do the postmortem exam or the autopsy, we find out that there was some sort of cardiac event that caused the person to lose consciousness.
Mm-hmm. And you can... And that makes a difference when it comes to insurance and a number of other things, or it could.
Yeah, and you hit on a very big one. Is the one thing about the coroner's office, there's a lot of stakeholders. And in our example with the farmer, that's an example where the insurance is a stakeholder in that, in whether or not it's a natural death or an accident, especially if it's at home, farmer's at work, and there's a double indemnity clause.
Yeah, I have I've had an accident policy for, gosh, 30 years. And, if I get killed in an accident, Linda immediately collects so many thousand dollars. And I've had that, and they just keep giving it to me every year because I guess they figure that I'm not going to die in an accident. I did call them and say, what about an act of war? Because I go to combat a lot. And they said, oh, gee, we don't know. I went, really? Navy Fed? You don't know? And then they called me back and said, okay, you're covered. So I guess that's an accident. I guess if you get shot.
Well, that's good news.
It was good news for me. So, but you're right, because it could be if the person died of a heart attack instead of an accident, there's a lot of money involved in that.
Yeah,
so
there is.
The insurance companies want it. Have you ever, I got to take a break. Think about this one. Have you ever had a case where nobody can figure out what killed this person? We'll be right back. This portion of the show brought to you by our friends over at SST Oil. Been in the business over 50 years. Now, let me tell you about Bill and Dana and their group down there. These people have been, they were running 24 hours a day. They had their trucks up on the front lines of the fires. In fact, they're still up there in the Delta fires right now. Plus keeping all the millions of gallons of fuel running up and down the state of California, Oregon, all over the northern region up here, the Northwest. Plus, they have CFI cards. We have CFI cards here at the station for work, and we get a monthly cost from SSI. You know, the thing about it is it's good for 59,000 different filling stations throughout the United States. And when you're traveling, you just look it up on the database, and it can tell you where they all are, so you can just stop in and get your gas. That's SST Oil. Give them a call, 241-1167. And the other thing is that they have got great deals on Toyotomi heaters and water heaters right now if you need to replace them. Give them a call, 241-1167, SST Oil. We'll be right back.
Plans to visit the emergency room, but when life's accidents happen, you need to get treated, not seated. Shasta Regional Medical Center is located at 1100 Butte Street in downtown Reading. They have emergency room doctors and staff that guarantee you will be seen by a medical professional within 30 minutes of your arrival. Shasta Regional Medical Center believes in delivering patient-centered health care with compassion and respect for every patient and their family.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal.
That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Reading Kia on Cypress Avenue in Reading, home of wonderful cars and SUVs at great prices. All new Kias come with a world-famous 10-year, 100,000-mile limited powertrain warranty. Exciting cars, performance cars, and sport utility vehicles that are built to last. We know this to be true. We own Kias, and we love them. Take a test drive in a new 2018 Kia Optima, 2018 Kia Niro, 2018 Kia Rio, 2018 Kia Soul, or a 2019 all-wheel drive Kia Sorento. Make a great deal and drive home happy. And if you're looking for affordable financing, Reading Kia is confident their wide-ranging resources and commitment to integrity will satisfy your needs and make you a customer for life. Reading Kia will do everything necessary to make your car buying experience the best you've ever had. So visit ReadingKia.com, then come into Northern California's Kia headquarters. Reading Kia, Cypress Avenue in Reading, Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, ReadingKia.com.
I'm Don Burton. I'm here with Bruce Blake, owner of Powerhouse Solar.
And Sue Blake.
We're at the beautiful Cottonwood Community Library, where you just finished up a job. They have solar now. What's it mean to them?
Well, Don, this compact 6-kilowatt system will offset the Cottonwood Community Library's entire electric bill. This is due to the efficient design and the quality of the SunPower panels, which are rated as the best solar panels on the market.
And the all-black panels present a beautifully clean look on their roof.
The SunPower panels can also be installed as a ground rack or a pole mount system.
How do you know which type of system is best for you?
Visit our showroom and design center today at 4616 Caterpillar Road in Reading,
where one of our solar design experts will sit down with you and present all of the available options and design a system specific to your energy needs.
And Powerhouse Solar can save you money on your home as well. Call Powerhouse Solar today at 275-5600.
And let us get the power of the sun working for your home or business.
Free Fire Radio. It's a target-rich environment.
Good morning. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio in our last segment here. It's 10 minutes before the hour of 9 o'clock here on the 19th of September. 64 degrees going up to 90 today. Now, it's going to be kind of hazy, but then clear. Air quality index is 137. And what I'm telling you today is good for like a week. It's going to be like this for like a week. No rain. Sunny. During the day, cool at night, going down in the 50s. The weather report brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. Veteran-owned, gets discounts for seniors and veterans, has payment plans if you need that, 365-3793. And we're here with Lieutenant Gene Randall, who is the Chief Deputy Coroner. Did I get that right?
You did.
Chief Deputy Coroner, just have to make sure, for Shasta County. And we're talking about the coroner's office now. We talked about earlier about the number of deputies we have out in different places. In fact, we're going to get 102 beds. We've been promised that by January in the jail. The booking procedure, like if somebody steals my truck, why don't they go to jail right away? And it has to do with the safety of the community. If this guy's a lesser jerk than somebody else, he's going to walk. Not walk, but he's got to show up, and eventually they'll get to him. And now we've been talking about the coroner's office and the things that the coroner's office does. But one of the things you talked about is if your pathologist who is, and we need to talk about her just a little bit. She's kind of like, she's like really excels in her field.
Yeah, we're very fortunate here in Shasta County to have Dr. Amaro. She's a certified with neuropathology, and which is very unusual. In fact, she's one of 400 in the entire nation with those certificates. So when we sent her down to the coroner symposium, my phone rang from all 57 other counties wanting us to do some outside work for them.
Wow.
Pretty impressive.
How long have you been there?
I've been there for going on about almost 2 years now.
Okay. Because do you cycle through there, or once you're there, you're there till you want to move, or what?
Yeah, you know, it's based on, I serve at the luxury of the sheriff, of course, and
if you get promoted, though, they'll move you out into something else.
Yeah, eventually, I'm sure that there would be a rotation that comes up. It's a very niche position. I enjoy it. We have a very talented staff. I have one of my investigators that actually has a master's in forensic medicine, and another investigator came from the postmortem side with 15 to 16 years in the donor network field.
How's your wife feel about this?
You know what? My wife loves the office.
She says, just don't bring anything home.
It's a, you know what? We don't. It's the office over there is a wonderful support system for each other, because the we talked about the mechanical issues of doing autopsies and the squeamishness, but the other side is the emotion. And every time we go to a call, it might be a call for us, but it's a significant emotional event for that family that we serve.
You know what? That's absolutely true, because when you show up, it's kind of like the finality of it, even if they've passed away, when you take the body.
Yeah, and
you know, that's huge.
There's that you're dealing with, loss of loved one, but there's also, we become a resource on how to get people put back together. And if the person who unfortunately perished is a sole breadwinner, and we might have a spouse that's looking at us going, what's my next move?
Well, that's interesting, too. You don't even think about that aspect of it. Now, one of the things we talked about during the break I find very interesting, and I think our audience needs to know about this. If the if Dr.
Amaro
is doing the autopsy, and she finds something of the cause of death, which could be a life-threatening illness that is passed on through generations, you all didn't work on that. I mean, then you have to go back to the family. Is that correct?
Yeah, we did. We rolled out a new project that started in May. And essentially what happens is obviously when we do a postmortem autopsy in some of those cases we talked about where it's a younger person and death isn't necessarily expected. But if we find out that it's a hereditary condition, we rush those cases to the top of our caseload. I sign a verdict of death as soon as I can and the case is completed. So in other words, I get priority. We call the family members and next of kin to find out if they have siblings that might be affected by that. So we can get them autopsy reports and all of the information involved in the case to them as soon as possible so they can get to their family doctor for any preventive care.
We had one of our fellow Marines, I think he's like 40, 42, drop over one day. And as the story comes out, he's like the fourth generation. They've all died young, and he had a son. I mean, can you imagine how that son feels? And it's not like these guys weren't in good shape. They were Marines. Generation. Like, so I think that's so important. If you find something that is, oh, wow, this could be something that is hereditary, that you immediately, as soon as you can, you go to the family and let them know.
We do, yeah. And there's a huge rush on it. And then so once... The key part is to sign the verdict of death, making the information matter a public record so we can just hand it over to them and get them to their physician with the information we have.
What about, we got like 4 minutes left. What do you want people to know about the coroner's office?
You know, it's a very talented office, and, you know, a lot of times there's a lot of interest in the coroner's office, and each time that I make an appearance in public or do any speaking event, there's a lot of questions about the mechanical issues and how do we deal with the squeamish issues. We got to go to car wrecks. We have to go to, homicide scenes. But we touched on it briefly is just the emotion that's involved and the amount of empathy it takes to do the job. And our staff down there does a fantastic job.
And you say now, too, is that it's almost like a how do we help people afterwards. Like, it's a great example of the breadwinner dies suddenly.
Right.
And now the wife, a couple of kids, what do I do? But you all have assets that you can help her with?
We do. And, whether that's for maybe bereavement assistance with Hill Country, mental health services, or even if they need to pick up the phone and they're angry, they're frustrated, our deputy coroners are there to answer their questions and guide them through that process. And that's the part that I applaud. That's the unsung part of what we do. Is that we don't just
pick up the body and leave.
Yeah, we don't do that. It's full service.
You know, and something like that, too, having somebody they can, that's there says, you know what, your insurance company, these are things that you need to do, maybe even a checklist. I know it sounds cold, but a checklist for somebody who's lost their loved one abruptly you can give to them at some point where they said, these are things that you need to know. If when you make a casualty call on a Marine's family.
Right, and those are all things that we do. It's linked to our website. You could find every funeral home on our website as well for assistance and a lot of the different services that even the county provides and that some of the nonprofits provide here.
Okay. I'm really glad you came on. Lieutenant, we haven't had a chance to talk to you. I always like to meet the sheriff. Sheriff I know, but the deputies and the other people. Having Eric Magrini come in one day and not having you, because I learn a lot more about how the system works over there. And I like to come through someday, not for an autopsy, like I'm walking through, to see the shop over there. And I could get the doctor, Dr. Amar, on.
Yeah, I'm sure that
she's been on one time, I think, and she's a little nervous about being on the radio.
But, no, I'm sure she would come back on. She'd do a good job. And
because she was just been hired, I think.
Right. She's had a chance to settle into her role, and I think the community could really benefit by having her come on. And so and on the patrol side, you know, obviously my priority right now is we're shifting out of the fires, and every time those zones are evac'd, we have to roll in and backfill with overtime. So a big priority is to get our deputies home to their families.
Well, we appreciate so much, and please pass on, as we have tried to do, is thank our law enforcement and our first responders so much for everything you all have done. And your deputies lost his home.
Yeah, they did. And just in closing, there was, the community support, I think, really drug the deputies across the finish line, because some of them were pulling 18 days straight out on the fires. So thank you for the community support.
Drug them across the, we were just there helping because you all were there for us.
Well, the community support was outstanding, and thank you, Shasta County.
Lieutenant Gene Randall from Chief Deputy Coroner here at Shasta County. Now, tomorrow we're going to be at the Dutch Bros on North Market Street down there close to the Turtle Bay School and KIXE. Come on down and visit us. Also, the district attorney, Stephanie Bridget, will be joining us at 7 a.m. there. She's not a barista, so we're just going to be talking about other things. Everybody have a great